Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Years of neglect, years of austerity have taken a terrible toll on school buildings in the Detroit Public School Community District. They've completed a review of facilities, and the result is stunning. The cost to fix Detroit school buildings is a staggering $500 million. With us now, DPSCD Superintendent Dr. Nicolai Vitti. So here's the report with the price tag to fix Detroit schools. Did this surprise you?
Not surprised. You know, when I first started the interview for the position and I visited schools, I was asked what was most shocking or what I was most surprised by in the beginning phases of engaging the district, and what I had indicated was the condition of the facilities. Obviously, I've been in large urban school districts throughout the country, and in walking some of the buildings, it was shocking how those buildings had deteriorated over the years and the proper investments weren't made in just basic upkeep. So the dollar amount, frankly, was not shocking. Now that we've defined the problem, we have to start talking about it, informing stakeholders about it inside the district, outside the district, in Detroit, outside of Detroit, because if you don't define the problem, you never can move to a solution. And for those that have been working in the district for years, they've known that these conditions existed, but frankly, emergency managers didn't talk about it, didn't own it. Previous governance structures at Lansing level didn't talk about it, didn't own it, and this is just going to accumulate and challenge over the years. In fact, by 2023, if we don't make significant investments, that $500 million number will rapidly increase to $1.3 billion. So this problem isn't getting any easier each year. It's going to become more difficult and more severe.
Before we talk money and dollars, take us back into those buildings as you walked through them and give everyone a sense of the kind of conditions you saw that are being reflected in this $500 million estimate.
Everything from windows not being able to open and close, ceiling tiles that are water stained, as you walk the hallways, tile on the floor that's warped with holes in them, classroom doors that don't open and close, holes in walls. Those were all things that I saw when I first visited schools, and I haven't even talked about proper investment in technology infrastructure, for example. That I would consider a necessity in today's facility expectations, but in many ways that would be a luxury considered what I'm speaking about. And then to go farther, as far as what I saw throughout the course of the year, is roofs that were not properly maintained. So classrooms had to be closed because of leaking roofs, increase in moisture and mildew because of the moisture. And so those would be other examples of what I've seen and saw throughout the year.
Tough to sell the merits of a district when you see such crumbling buildings and infrastructure.
Well, I think it has to be a differentiated conversation. On the one hand, we do have buildings that have been upgraded or that are newer, so new facilities. So I think you have to look at every individual schools and have a conversation about every individual school. You also have to have a conversation about what can happen in a building even when you have inferior infrastructure. There still can be good teaching and learning happening in the building. You can still engage children authentically and build relationships with them and families. So good things can still happen in a building that is not properly upgraded and maintained. But then again, you also know that children realize the conditions that they're seeing. Parents see that. Parents and students know that children in Detroit have been treated in many times as second-class citizens, and they see it. They can drive down 94, they can drive down other roads in Detroit moving in the suburbs and see that there is a stark difference between schools. And you go beyond Metro Detroit and you see brand new buildings that almost look like community colleges or universities, and these are public schools. So you can see the discrepancy even the farther away you go from Metro Detroit.
When the state came up with the plan to bail out Detroit schools, it allocated about $25 million for building improvements. So now you have this report, and you're looking at this gap. What now?
What we need to do is own the repairs that we have a budget to address. We've identified a number of schools that have inadequate roofs, and we are making the investment over the summer into the fall into those buildings. I think that's something we can do immediately. So we are using the dollars that we have to address significant and immediate safety to life issues and making investments in areas where, again, we can see the greatest return on investment for, like I said, a new roof. But we are going to have use this review to have a broader conversation with the legislature, hopefully with the new governor, about what we do differently in Detroit. And frankly, the problems that we've articulated in Detroit are most extreme. But these problems exist in rural districts in Michigan and other urban type of districts throughout Michigan. So yes, the problem in Detroit is more profound and broader at scale. But when I talk to superintendents throughout Michigan and you hear the conversation, there are issues of infrastructure concerns in Michigan and really throughout this country that have been neglected. And as you well know, your organization is only as strong as its infrastructure because it allows for a sustainable long-term approach to the services that you're providing. But, I mean, we've heard times and times again, not only schools, but roads, bridges, dams have not been properly invested in. And we have underfunded many projects and initiatives throughout this country. And then that's most seen every day in schools, but you see them even when you drive the road. So there is a point to be made that funding infrastructure provides long-term investment in many different areas. And it's time to have that conversation about schools, but even broader than schools.
Well, Dr. Vitti, you talk about talking with other superintendents and other districts who face their own problems with infrastructure. But unlike them, am I correct? The Detroit district, you can't borrow money for construction projects the way other districts can.
That's right. And our local property taxes or revenue that's generated is paying the legacy debt. And that will not be paid, if all things stay the same, until anywhere between 2040 and 2050. So what other districts can use to start to at least fill the gaps, we cannot. We also can't borrow. And so we are even at a stronger disadvantage than other districts. Now, we are exploring the opportunity to use maybe a sinking fund in the future, but that's also limited as far as what revenue can be generated in that area. Obviously, we need a broader conversation with Lansing in the next few years. We'll expend the dollars that we have, but this problem is not going away. And if we're truly committed as a state to offer strong traditional public education in Detroit, and we're serious about local control having a fair chance to repair the mistakes of emergency management, then you have to have a real conversation about infrastructure and funding. And this is what this study allowed us to now have a conversation about, because it's third-party based, it's not politically driven, it's from experts that were not tied to the district, and so now we have the data and now we can have the conversation.
Do you see layoffs as an option?
Absolutely not. You know, we are already underfunded when you look at the way in which funding is allocated in Michigan. You know, when you think about giving everyone the same, you can talk about equality, but that's not a conversation about equity. And there has been a recent study performed about how finances should change as far as school funding in Michigan, and that conversation is about differentiated funding or a weighted student formula based on the children that you serve, whether they're English language learners, they have special needs, or even if you're facing poverty. And so when you give districts the same amount of dollars, if you give a child an allocated amount in Birmingham and it's the same amount as Detroit, then you can argue that it's equal, but it's not equitable. And if we truly want to give children equal opportunity, then you have to have differentiated or equitable funding, not necessarily equal funding. That's a different conversation that we need to have and a broader conversation. But in the end, no, layoffs aren't an option, because we are already stretching our dollars as much as possible to try to address the issues that poverty brings. And if we cut personnel, then we're going to do an even more of a disservice to children.
In the final moments we have you, Dr. Vitti, since we've got you here, this is the one-year anniversary of you becoming the superintendent of the Detroit Public Schools Community District. What's been your biggest takeaway from this first year?
The biggest takeaway is that this can be done. We can rebuild the district. We just need time, support, and space. And that support has to come through resources, but support also comes with protecting local control and giving us the the flexibility to make the decisions that we need to make in order to rebuild the district. But after a year's work, I do believe that this can happen. It just needs to happen with the time, resources, and space to do it. It's not going to happen overnight. You can't deteriorate and frankly destroy a district over a decade of mismanagement and expect it to turn around in a year. But after being in the district for a year, I believe that people want change. I think people have been supportive of best practice type of change. They've been open-minded with the reform that's already been initiated. Most of the initiatives have been well supported. But we, again, people have to have a degree of patience and a willingness to give the district the time to create more credibility to transform the district and not work around the district as we try to rebuild it. But I was optimistic coming in, but I remain optimistic because I know it can be done. We just need to be given the time, resources, and space to do it.
Detroit School Superintendent Dr. Nicolae Vitti, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.